Thomas promptly did something that made the tires howl and almost threw me out the broken window. I got an up-close look at the scarecrow as the van slewed into a bootlegger reverse. It reached for me, but its claws only raked down the van's quarter panel, squealing as they ripped through the paint. The scarecrow, though swift and strong, was also very tall and ungainly, and we reversed directions more quickly than it could, giving us a couple of seconds worth of a lead. I gripped my blasting rod so hard that my knuckles turned white and struggled to work out an evocation on the fly. I'm not much of an evocator. That's the whole reason I use tools like my staff and blasting rod to help me control and focus my energy. The very thought of spontaneously trying out a new evocation was enough to make sweat bead on my forehead, and I tried to remind myself that it wasn't a new evocation. It was just a very, very, very skewed application of an old one. I leaned out the broken window, blasting rod in hand, watching behind us until the scarecrow's steps carried it into the clump of empty plastic bottles in a shallow puddle. Then I gritted my teeth, pointed my blasting rod at the sky, and reached out for fire. Instead of drawing the power wholly from within myself, I reached out into the environment around me, into the oppressive summer air, the burning heat of the van's engine, from Mouse, from Rollins, from the blazing streetlights, and from the water I'd spread in front of the scarecrow.
Fuego!
I howled. Flame shot up into the Chicago sky like a geyser, and the explosion of sudden heat broke some windows in the nearest buildings. The van's engine stuttered in protest, and the temperature inside the van dropped dramatically. Lights flickered out on the street, the abrupt temperature change destroying their fragile filaments as my spell sucked some of the heat out of everything within 100 yards. And the expensive puddle of water instantly froze into a sheet of glittering ice. The scarecrow's leading foot hit the ice and slid out from under its body. Its two long limbs thrashed wildly, and then the scarecrow went down, awkward limbs flailing. Its speed and size now worked against it, throwing it down the concrete like a tumbleweed until it smacked hard into a municipal bus stop shelter.
Go, go, go!
I screamed. Thomas gunned the engine, recovering his power, and shot down the street. He turned at the nearest corner, and when he did, the scarecrow had only begun to extricate its tangle of limbs from the impact. Thomas hardly slowed, took a couple more turns, and then found a ramp onto the freeway. I watched behind us. Nothing followed. I sagged down, breathing hard, and closed my eyes.
Harry, Thomas demanded, his voice worried. Are you all right?
I grunted. Even that much was an effort. It took me a minute to manage to say, just tired. I recovered from that feat and added, Madrigal pushed me into that thing and bugged out. Thomas winced. Sorry I wasn't there sooner, he said. I grabbed Rollins. I figured you'd have told me to get him out anyway. I would have, I said. He looked up at me in the rearview mirror, his eyes pale and worried.
You sure you're all right?
We're all alive. That's what counts.
Thomas said nothing more until we slid off the highway and he began to slow the van. I busied myself checking Rollins.